You're listening to Casting Dreams, the podcast about the Sega Dreamcast, and I'm Jonathan Eaton.
And I'm Patrick Anderson.
And we are coming at you, not live, but we're coming at you, and we're going to talk about a fucking absolute banger of a game today. I feel like, Patrick, you should introduce this game because you're the one who suggested it to me.
Oh, well, the banger, I love that, that was great, is Dynamite Cop. Yeah. This game, I had a, just always have a dynamite time when mm-hmm. I play it. The game is just awesome, beat 'em up, quick time events, which I generally don't like quick time, but they were actually kind of fun.
I kind of got into it, yeah, I took some notes about the quick time events. Dynamite Cop. I had heard of this game, but only recently, actually, when we started doing this podcast, and I was looking up like what are some good games, you know, for us to cut. Like, obviously, we have the ones that we've talked about already, and there's all the games that we own. You own this game.
Yes.
I had never, like, when the Dreamcast was out, I had actually never heard of this.
Mm. It's a classic. It's great. Good. A hidden gem, if
it's
you
good.
Will.
So, Dynamite Cop. Boy, oh boy. I went so fucking far, like, into a rabbit hole researching this game, to the point where I was reading an interview with the guy who made this and the first game. Because wow. Dynamite Cop is actually, it's a sequel. You might not guess what it's a sequel to. Okay. So it was originally released in 1998, and it's an arcade game, which seemed, even before I started researching it, when I was playing it, I was like, oh, this must have been an arcade game, because it's so fast. It absolutely plays like an arcade. Same with, like, House of the Dead 2, mm-hmm. Where you're just like, oh, there's not much to this. There's not much to this time-wise, but we'll get into, like, the combat. It's actually deeper than I was expecting it to be. But it was ported to the Dreamcast in the U.S. It was ported in October 99. So it came out kind of right after the Dreamcast launched. Mm-hmm. In Japan, it's called Dynamite Deca 2 because it's actually a sequel to a game called Dynamite Deca, which Patrick is holding up. You have Dynamite Deca for Sega Saturn.
Correct, yeah.
This is very interesting to me because you have the Japanese version. Do you know what Dynamite Deca was called in the U.S.?
Die Hard Arcade.
Yeah. So, Dynamite Deca is Die Hard.
So close.
And I was playing Dynamite Cop, and I started playing as, like, the main character, Bruno Dellinger. I don't know how you're supposed to say his last name.
I see Dellinger.
Dellinger.
So, yeah.
Because it sounds like it should be Derringer, right?
Yeah. So Bruno. We'll just go with Bruno.
We'll call him Bruno. Which Bruno. First, again, there's a lot of little connective tissue. I'm like, I was playing as Bruno. Dude looks like Die Hard, especially when he gets injured and, like, his armor comes off, and then he's just in a tank, like a dirty tank
white
top.
White beater. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude looks like John McClane. It's because he is John McClane. But they...
So I love the cover of this.
They didn't...
He looks like Bruce Willis.
He looks like Bruce Willis. Whose alter ego's name is Bruno? That's the thing that I was, like, laughing my ass off about. And I'm like, did they do that on purpose? They had to have, right?
They had to have.
I couldn't find that anywhere, but I was like, there's no way this dude's name isn't... I'm surprised they didn't just name him, like, Bruce.
Willis Bruce.
Willis. So they didn't have the license to Die Hard in Japan, which is why in Japan it's called Dynamite Deca. So Die Hard in the U.S., Dynamite Deca in Japan. It's the same game, though. But so in the U.S., the first game, it was John McClane. And what was the girl's name was, like, Crystal something, I think. I have it written down somewhere. it's not Jean. It's not Jean Ivy. And when they released it in Japan, they couldn't name him John McClane. So they just renamed him Bruno Dellinger. But he's the same. It's just the same. It's the same game. So when they made the sequel to Die Hard Arcade / Dynamite Deca, they decided to just skip the Die Hard thing and just call it Dynamite Deca 2 in Japan. In the U.S., it's called Dynamite Cop. They carried over the Japanese name of the main character, Bruno. So there's three playable characters, Bruno Dellinger, Jean Ivy, which is great. And then what's the other guy's name? Eddie Brown.
Wow.
There was also a sequel to Dynamite Cop called Asian Dynamite. But that never came out in the U.S.
Oh, man.
And I think it was arcade only also.
Of course.
So what's interesting about Dynamite Cop is that as soon as I started, I had no idea what kind of game this was. And as soon as I started playing it, immediately I was thinking about Streets of Rage.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Because it's a beat 'em up. So, but whereas Streets of Rage is a side scroller beat 'em up, Dynamite Cop is fully 3D. And mm-hmm. it's still a beat 'em up, but it's an 8-way beat 'em up. Kind of like what we were talking with Soul Calibur, how they made a fighting game, but they made it like an 8-way fighting game, which was brand new at the time.
Yeah.
This was like when they were making the original Dynamite, when they're making Dynamite Deca / Die Hard, they were like, what can we do with beat 'em ups that's new? Because the technology was progressing and they thought that something being 2D would be like passe. So right. they decided to make it, you know, 3D, fully 3D environments, 8-way fighting. So correct. I hope I'm not wrong about this. But the guy who created Dynamite Cop is Makoto Uchida. He's the founder and president of Sega of China. He Ooh. Visited the US and he already loved Die Hard, which obviously, like, who doesn't love Die Hard?
Of course.
But he loved Die Hard. He loved American action movies, and he wanted to incorporate Western ideas and Hollywood tropes into a video game. So that was him making the first video game. It was very heavily inspired by Hollywood action movies, which is so funny because that's also like what happened with Blue Stinger.
Yeah.
Like, it's a real right. trend, I feel like, at that time.
We're just awesome.
We're just, you know what? We make badass movies. Yeah. Everybody just wants to be us. When they were making the first game, this is another bit of trivia that I absolutely love. When they were making the first game, they were 80 to 90% done with it when they decided to make it Die Hard. So it was not Die Hard. And that's kind of perfect because every Die Hard movie also hasn't been Die Hard until a certain point in production. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
If you look up like trivia on, I think basically every Die Hard movie past the first one. And also Die Hard, this is going to be like a crazy tangent, but the first Die Hard is technically a sequel to a movie starring fucking what's his name, Frank Sinatra. they're based off of the character John McClane is based off of a character from I think a book. So there was a Frank Sinatra movie that was adapted from a book. And he plays John McClane, and then when they were making Die Hard in the 80s. They had to offer the part of John McClane to Frank Sinatra, who was like, what, I don't know, 70 or 80 something at the time. Like,
yeah,
they had
old.
They contractually had to offer it to Frank Sinatra first, and he said no. And then they gave it to Bruce Willis. But then every other movie has started out as a completely separate action movie that at some point an executive was like, you know what we could do is just rename the main character John McClane and just make this a sequel to Die Hard.
That's awesome.
Isn't that great?
That's great. I didn't know about that. That's awesome. Yeah.
So when they were making, this is another great bit of, this also, there's so many like connective tissues. This reminded me a lot of like when we were talking about Sonic Adventure and how they wanted to incorporate like urban, like kind of hip hop shit into it,
yeah,
because that was popular. So they were making the first game, they were making, the second game, the one we're talking about, and they were going to add a third character. And originally they were going to add, I think a Chinese character, but then they saw, they were like studying American arcades and they were like, first of all, there's a lot of diversity of kids in arcades in America,
right,
and in the games themselves there's always like basically they were like there's always a black guy, so they're like, let's third character is a black, it's just a black guy. Their words, not mine. This is all in an interview.
Wow. So yeah. just put that person in there then.
It like, basically like half of that I'm like, oh, that's kind of nice, because they're like, oh, there's, you know, there's a lot of black kids in American arcades playing video games, but then the other half is just like, there's also just a bunch of, there's just always a black guy in these games, so let's just do that.
Like, just wow, yeah, they try to do other nationalities. I just trying to think of like their names, like what they would try to come up with.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. My mind's going.
I have a troubling bit of trivia about the character Eddie, but we'll get to that in a bit.
Okay.
Oh, Cindy Holliday. That was the original female character from the first game. Cindy Holliday. I love that.
Cindy Holliday.
Originally, when they were developing the game, they also had, they had like skills as a part of it, and they ended up kind of trimming a bunch of the stuff out to make it less complicated. Sure. But this is interesting. Originally, there was a charisma skill. With the charisma skill, you could like build up your charisma, and then when it was powerful enough, you could blow a kiss and kill someone.
I mean, what's more powerful than that?
I kind of want to see. And that was, quote, really stupid. Is what they said. And I'm like, wow, that's the thing you thought was too stupid for this game.
Yeah. Have you seen everything else? Like,
yeah.
No. That's great.
Okay. A Filipino comics artist named Tony, I hope I'm saying this right, Dezuviga. Tony Dezuviga. He did all of the character concept art. And so when he was drawing Bruno, he drew a pet monkey, which you probably notice when you're playing the game, when you're doing the character select.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They don't know why he did this. He just drew a pet monkey and they were like, why? And he was like, I don't, because it's fun. And they're like, okay, well, we're not going to put a monkey in the game, so don't do that. And every time he drew this character, he just kept drawing the monkey. So like,
it's got a thing for monkeys. Go figure.
And now I didn't see this because I only played this game one person, but it is a two player game. And if you play it with two people and you win and you get to the end, after you beat the last boss, you actually fight each other, because they thought, What would be more fun than just like, it's a beat 'em up game, so there should be a winner, so beat each other up. So if you play it with another person, at the end of the game, you actually get to basically like fight to the death. And in that one instance, there's a monkey.
Of course.
It's just, I think he's dancing or something.
Wow.
Let's just real quick, let's look at what happens when you boot this game up.
Magic happens. Oh.
Absolute magic.
We have a situation down there. Some modern-day pirates have hijacked a huge cruiser. They're holding 2,000 hostages inside, including the president's daughter. We have to
it's, the ship. It is really okay. Yeah.
And I love the pirates.
The pirates are incredible looking. And it's they say modern day pirates, and the dude's got like a cyborg face. Really, really, really hilariously quick, like CG intro to this game to set up the plot. And the plot is modern day pirates have kidnapped the president's daughter on a cruise ship. And you're saving her. That's it.
That's the plot.
That's the plot. That's the whole plot. And when I was playing the game, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I wonder what the next level is. No, there's not. It's like,
you crash and then you got to do this.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's it.
Oh. And that's it. I thought I was going to keep fighting the pirates. I'm like, oh no, this is just one mission. You can choose how you get on the boat.
That's true. Very true.
Yeah. And that does, it's kind of interesting because it does open up the game a little bit in variety, because how you choose to get on the boat changes up, I think, the sequence of rooms that you fight in.
Yeah. Mixes it up.
Let's talk real quick about the characters. We've got Bruno Dellinger.
Whatever. Bruno. Yeah.
Bruno. He's the main character. He's the action guy. He's Bruce Willis. There's Gene Ivy. So I did notice, like, play style, she was like faster
mm-hmm.
than he yeah. was.
Yeah, he moved kind of slower. Yeah. For sure. But yeah, just everything, it's just even the body armor, everything. I mean, it's just amazing. So yeah, if you want to see some real damage in real time,
yeah,
you're not going to get realer than Dynamite Cop. So.
I did love how it took me a minute. I was like, is it just my eyes or like, are there clothes coming off? As you take damage, you gradually lose bits of your armor, but it's clothes. You just lose some clothes, and it's not even like titillating. It's just like,
no,
it's a choice that I feel like games around this era made. Illbleed did the same thing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They did do some of that. So that was kind of the late 90s thing or early 2000s.
Style at the time.
Yeah.
And then Eddie Brown, spoiler, I didn't play as Eddie Brown. I meant to, but I played as Bruno and Gene. And then as far as I can tell, I feel like she's just faster. Like, I think that's basically it. Like, she's a bit faster, and I think Bruno and Eddie are just,
I would imagine, slower, but
slower, yeah, more powerful. Yeah, I did really enjoy, after that little intro, there's a little text that comes up and says, prepare yourself for Dynamite Cop.
Yes. Yeah, it's like, get ready for this world. It's like, fuck yeah, I'm
that
ready.
That made me happy. So the let's talk about the gameplay. What did you I love it. What's your favorite part of playing this game?
I just love the variety of weapons that you can have. I mean, anywhere from like a push broom to like a beach chair to a rocket launcher to I mean the game's just like I'll pick it up. Smack. I mean, the variety of weapons are just incredible. And of course the enemies, I love how the pirates, some of them actually have like the bandanas and like they're still trying to look like what pirates look like. But definitely the diversity of the weapons and the pirates, best part.
The diversity of the enemies is crazy. Did you have a favorite weapon?
I personally like the rocket launcher, but you know.
Now, which rocket launcher? Because there was one that was like a quad rocket launcher,
right? And then there was kind of like the long
and then
one.
There is one that was called, I think, anti-ship missile, and that was the one that made a nuclear explosion.
I I like the four or the, you know, yeah, the cram kind of style. I
yeah.
look like a boombox. I kind of like that style.
Like the all right, you know, your classic Resident Evil rocket launcher.
Mm-hmm.
That always makes me think of, first, it makes me think of Resident Evil. Second, it makes me think of Commando. Do you remember Commando with Arnold?
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh,
yeah. And Radon Chong, when she's like, she stands up in the Jeep and she's holding like a fucking quad rocket launcher.
Fuck yeah.
That movie's great, man.
No, oh, I do like how you can pick up that arcade cabinet and use that as well.
Yeah, you can use everything. I wrote down a list of some of my favorite weapons just in how crazy they are. Oh, and also in this video, I didn't do this at all, but you can handcuff people, I guess, because you're a cop. Oh,
yes, you can.
Mm-hmm. I didn't do that. I was just like smashing buttons trying to kill everyone.
I probably killed more than I cuffed, but yeah, if I could, I would cuff them. But yeah,
that's crazy. I didn't know you could cuff people.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Here was just my quick list of favorite weapons. French roll. Okay. That was just a baguette.
Yes, baguette.
I think it's just called hand grenades, but it's straight up, it's a box of grenades.
Yeah.
And it was in a fridge also. Like, if you hit the fridge, it, like, the fridge explodes, and then a box of grenades falls out, and then you pick up the box, and you just, like, chuck the grenades out. what the guy's using right now, or in the video that we're watching, laser gun. I like the laser gun.
Yes, laser gun's good.
It's like, it's a crazy noise. Beef.
Like a hammock.
Just
like
it's just like a fucking, it's a big ass piece of beef. Beef, anti-ship missile, that was one of my favorites because that was the thing that made a mushroom cloud. That was ridiculous. And then these two crack me up. Hairspray and pepper. Pepper's the best one.
Ooh, pepper. That's right. You do. Oh.
You can. Yeah. You just basically can just pick up pepper and just shake it at people. And I think they sneeze when you do that.
Oh. I just would just over and over. Maybe that, I didn't even realize that. Yeah, because I just always see them like hunch over. So I guess, they were sneezing.
The QuickTime events we should talk about, because at first I was really annoyed by them because I kept getting it wrong. Because it'll be like, you go through, you know, you go into a room, there's a bunch of guys, you beat them up, and then it'll like do a little cutscene of you getting to the next room, and there's like a QuickTime event, and it'll be like, go dodge left, dodge right, or jump, or whatever, and I kept getting it wrong. But then when you get it right, it was cracking me up.
It feels so good.
It feels good, and the animation is hilarious, because it'll be like, there's a guy there, and you're running full tilt, and it'll be like, punch, and if you punch, you don't stop running, you just run and you go like, wham! Just like, nail a dude, and they go like, flying off the side of a cruise ship.
Success!
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, you know what? This is great.
Yeah.
One of the notes I took was, this game is fucking awesome. That was like one of the first notes I took. The best part of this game is that you can pick almost anything up and use it as a weapon, including guns and knives and hatchets, but then also like whatever the fuck is around. You can use a toilet as a weapon in this game.
Just if it's around, you can use it. Obviously, except for, well, this level. I was thinking you could pick up, like, that pole or that mast.
The mast, yeah.
Yeah, but you couldn't, which I'm like...
We're watching Eddie fight the final boss, whose name, I wrote it down, is Wolf Hongo.
That's right.
The final boss is real... bullshit. There's some cheap ass shots in that fight.
I love how the island just red stripes looks at you like it's blowing up. And then credits.
Also, the island is like, the island looks like, it's like a skull.
It's a Kessel
with tentacles.
Skull.
Yeah. I don't understand. I don't understand it at all.
Well, you know, they probably thought Westerners, you know, Westerners like ourselves, we would get it and we would like it. So,
you guys get it. Pirates, you guys have pirates, right?
Yeah.
Still do?
Still do.
Do. Huge problem. I was very surprised when I had to fight a Kraken on this cruise ship.
That's my favorite part. That was my favorite part. Just, I'm going to fight a Kraken.
I'm just going to fight a Kraken. I was like, oh, it's a big octopus. Oh, no, it's a Kraken.
Yeah. So how many times do you think you died in the game?
A lot.
Did they give you a total at the end of the game? How many times you died? I can't remember.
So I didn't see a total, and my first playthrough I played as Bruno, and I was like, oh, it's so nice that you don't get a game over. You can just play as many times as you want.
Yeah.
But then I played through as Gene, and I actually didn't get to the end because I think I died one too many times. So I actually did get a game over as her. So there is a cap. I just don't know what it was.
Don't move. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't come across the cutoff, hence I thought, oh, you probably have as many continues as you want. This is awesome, but
yeah,
I guess not.
Honestly, it's a lot of continues. I just, like, I think as Gene, I was getting, I think the Kraken really fucked me up.
Wolf fucked me up. Wolf majorly fucked me up.
Wolf, Wolf sucks. Wolf Hongo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
I found these enemies to be problematic.
Yeah, because like they like mutate or they like make
they
others.
they double themselves, but it's just it's like, oh look, savage islanders. At the time, guys, it didn't seem that big of a deal. And so what if they? If their skin is literally black and they have skeletons, they look like Baron Samedi from Live and Let Die.
Oh yeah, they
but
do.
But it is really like that, really like stereotypical like voodoo doctor, you know, savage islander trope, which doesn't play great now.
No.
Speaking of something that wouldn't play great now and didn't play great then, here's a few kind of like little tidbits, things you can unlock of the game. So the Dreamcast version of this game, it has the whole arcade game.
Okay.
And it's three characters plus, oh yeah, here's a quick time event, which is like,
bam,
that dude.
Still running.
You got your three characters, you got your three scenarios. And there is like, yeah, depending on which way you choose to get on the boat, it is a little bit different. And I noticed that like the president's daughter who you're trying to save does like, she does a different thing depending on which scenario you do. So like in one scenario, she hides in a suitcase, and in another one, she like tries to get a gun. But you can collect pieces of artwork throughout the game. Unlock like an art gallery. So there's a whole like art gallery. There's like a comic and an art gallery that you can go through, which I'm putting a pin in the art gallery thing because I have some stuff to say about that. You could also unlock if you played through everything and beat the game, you can unlock tranquilizer gun.
Oh.
Here's the really cool bonus game you can unlock if you beat Dynamite Cop.
Oh boy.
Oh, that's right.
So, as best I can tell, it's like a real Pac-Man looking game where I think you're just tranquilizing animals and taking them back to your Jeep. It has nothing to do with Dynamite Cop.
They had something kind of like this in Dynamite Deca.
Oh, really?
They had kind of like a Atari based overhead, you know. But it was like a submarine type of level or game versus Safari Jack or whatever.
I just like when I read, oh, there's a bonus game, bonus arcade game that you can unlock. I wasn't expecting it to be this like 8-bit bullshit.
It's like a reject Sega. Well, it says Sega 1980, but yeah, maybe it was an actual arcade game.
I think it was originally an actual arcade game, and then I think what happened was when they were porting this to Dreamcast, they were like, there's not enough content to justify the price tag. So let's just cram in some bullshit bonus things.
It was like $50, wasn't it? I think it retailed at $49.99.
Probably, I think that was about the price of the games in that time. Bruno Dellinger was also, he had a cameo in House of the Dead 2, which I didn't know. You have to, I think it's just, there's a lot of unlockable shit in House of the Dead 2, and I think he's just like, he's one of those like things. So I don't know if I ever unlocked him and I just didn't know who the fuck he was because he just looks like Bruce Willis. Or if I never unlocked him. But he shows up in House of the Dead 2. There was DLC for this game in the form of an alternate costume for each character. For Bruno, the alternate costume was just his costume from the first game. For Jean Ivy, her costume was also just Cindy Holiday from the first game.
Okay.
For Eddie, because he wasn't in the first game, so they thought what would be really a good idea would be if his costume, his alternate skin, was just a life-size version of the monkey from the concept art.
Oh, boy. Oh,
and
Sega.
I wrote this down. Quote, removed from the U.S. version for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Do you think?
Fucking imagine.
Wow.
Like, not only are they just like, who's your third character? Oh, generic, black guy. There's a black guy in everything, so make him a black guy. What should his alternate costume be? Fuck, please don't say it.
Yeah,
please don't say what I think you're going to say. Human-sized monkey. So that was shocking for me to read. And thankfully, I could not find like a picture or video of that. So I don't know if that actually ever made it into like the Japanese version, or if they did just completely scrap it because it does. It's a shockingly bad idea.
Yeah. Red flag.
It's a huge red flag.
Holy crap! I didn't know any like there was DLC stuff for this. That's really interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Especially that. Wow. You got me.
when they revealed this game, Patrick, instead of revealing it at like a trade show or something that you usually would do back in the day, they held an event on a cruise ship and they invited a bunch of gaming press to reveal Dynamite Comp, and Makoto Uchida, I hope I'm saying his name right. Apologies if I'm not. He dressed up as Bruno Dellinger for the reveal. Again, couldn't find a picture of this.
Wow.
But I love it.
Wow. That's pretty awesome. I wonder if he had a monkey on his shoulder, too. Like, you know.
I feel like he probably didn't because he seemed annoyed at the fact that the artist kept drawing a monkey.
Good to see him, like, you know.
The artist is like, no, I got the, here's a monkey. I'm like, I don't want the fucking monkey. He's a cop. It doesn't make any sense. What if John McClane had a pet monkey? That would complicate everything.
I mean, okay, maybe a dog, maybe, but a monkey? Wow.
A monkey?
Interesting.
It's so weird. The art for him, he's also wearing like a Hawaiian shirt. So it really just looks like, hey, I'm on vacation. I met a monkey.
It's got but bananas on him.
But it has nothing to do with this game. I am a cop. And I'm rescuing the president's daughter on a cruise ship.
I love that plot. That was like so always good. Like an 80s, 90 thing. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, man. Well, of course, you know, being a John Carpenter whore, I mean, that's Escape from L.A. pretty much.
Escape from L.A., yeah.
Yeah.
But I was going to say Escape from New York is rescuing the president.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, president's daughter.
Wow.
Escape from L.A.
Original.
Fucking Resident Evil 4. Even when that game came out, I remember thinking, really?
President's daughter. Ooh, I like that. I like
president's
that.
Daughter. Yeah.
Okay.
Who should we send? Leon.
Right.
He'll be great. Have you seen his... He learned how to roundhouse kick. It's amazing.
I learned a lot with my time off.
Yeah. That is one of my favorite things ever, to jump from playing Resident Evil 2... And he's like, I'm a rookie cop. It's my first fucking day. It's my first day on the job. And then it's two games later, and he's just like, I am so fucking badass. I've grown. I've got a leather jacket. I'm full of one-liners now for some reason. And I literally kick heads off of people.
Yeah.
I love that game though.
Oh, the game is so beautiful. Good. It's wonderful. But yeah, it's just...
You played the remake, right?
Yes, I have. I own it. Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. Just making sure. Oh, yeah. I wrote down in my notes for this game. Crazy. Did I win?
I think maybe because I'm getting older and going back to more retro gaming, the length of the game, well, I'm like, oh, that was perfect.
Perfect. I loved it. Yeah,
done. Okay, I can move on to do the laundry. Okay, this is perfect. Like, it was
and truly, like,
right.
I'm sure I could get sick of it, but I did want to play more of it, because I was like, what other things can I pick up and hit people with?
Yeah, true.
Because, there's a lot of variety for a game this short.
Yeah, I've never experienced anything like that before. I mean, I know with Dynamite Deca on the Saturn, one of my wife's sister's friend came over and he's like, oh, man, what can we play two-player? I'm like, oh, I've got one for you. We put in Dynamite Deca and he's like, dude, this game is like, and that was the first thing that came out of his mouth. I mean, like, you could literally pick up anything, and this is awesome. Why? I mean, I can't, and I know there's got to be some out there, but I really can't think of another game that has quite this much variety or interactivity with.
Yeah.
I mean, you can fucking pick up an arcade machine and throw it at somebody.
It's
amazing.
I love it. I, like you're saying, I'm sure there's got to be something else that's like that.
Yeah,
but that's always like, that's something that I have thought about in video games for like 20 years, which is like, I want environments to be destructible and I want to be able to pick up anything and use it like as a weapon. And I know it's, you know, it's just, you got to code that shit into it. But it's just weird that we don't have more games that are, this is what I want. I want shorter games that are deeper.
I'm like you.
That Harry Potter game that came out.
Oh, yes.
A while ago.
Hogwarts?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hogwarts Legacy. I had a great time playing it, and I played it once. And after I was done, I was like, okay, I'm done. It was a great example of a game that was like huge and detailed, but shallow as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, once you do the things that are in the game, there's just not, like, there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
And it was very fun. Like, I enjoyed it a lot, but I'm like, that, and then Star Wars Outlaws I just played.
Oh, that's right. You got that.
Also, I had a great time playing. I thought it was really fun. I'm not like an Ubisoft hater, so I don't really care. I didn't do everything in the game, but I played it, and it is like, it's huge. It's fucking enormous, and it's really, really detailed. I think it looks pretty great. People complain that it doesn't look good, and I'm like, okay, I don't, what do you want? It looks fine. I don't know. People hate Ubisoft and they hate Star Wars, you know, like no one hates Star Wars like a Star Wars fan. So when they said like Ubisoft was making a Star Wars game, I'm like, oh, great. The internet's going to really fucking hate this. But there's just not a ton of stuff to do. At a certain point, I don't know. It's like when you make a game, maybe I'm just spoiled with like Red Dead 2.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great example for a game that has, I mean, Rockstar games generally have,
Jesus Christ, yeah,
plenty to do. And I mean, I won't say infinite, but I mean, they've got, yeah, just you can lose yourself in it.
That's the thing. It's not infinite, but their games, Rockstar games, are huge and deep. So it's like, okay, yeah, you did it right. You made a gigantic, detailed world, but you also made it incredible to like lose yourself in, as opposed to like games like Hogwarts or Star Wars Outlaws that are like huge detailed world, not a lot of stuff to do. So I would rather the games be a lot shorter and just have like better content.
Yeah, no, and that's you know, it's that old saying, I want to have fun in the game.
Yeah,
rather than, oh man, I gotta start doing like these task, or you know, I've got to like, you know, get somebody from point A to point B.
Oh, escort,
thank you. I mean, it's just like, that's when you really get taken out of a game and you go like, man, how much more do I have to play of this? I just want to win it. So that's why I loved just this game. It's like you said, it's deep in its fighting mechanics, and at the same time length, it's like, yeah, don't overdo it.
Yeah.
If you have a good length. And I feel like that length was perfect for me. So I loved it. It was great.
People have complained about the length of the Resident Evil remakes. Maybe not so much Resident Evil 4, because that really was like a one-to-one remake almost.
Yeah. Right.
Especially with like the Ada DLC. I was like, wow, they really did do everything from the original game. That's fucking crazy. But the Resident Evil 2 and 3 remake, they cut content out, and people are like, oh, they should have been longer. I'm like, on the one hand, sure, I always want more of my favorite thing.
Sure.
But like, goddamn, I want something, I don't know, like you said, I just want it to be short, honestly. I don't have a lot of time to play shit.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's why I do a lot of, generally I'll do like a lot of Sega Saturn, or I'll do TurboGrafx games, or Super Nintendo or Genesis, along with Dreamcast. But yeah, I like those because it's, one, it just sits down, and I mean, crap, I just played Contra on Nintendo.
Yeah.
What, last week? Beautiful. Perfect length. I had fun. Music, graphics, everything were great. Like, awesome. But just to settle, I do like new games. Please don't get me wrong. I do like the modern gaming, but I do feel like just length and everything. And it could be, honestly, when I got a game, that was like your game for a month or two. Like, you had to play the living crap out of it before. Rather now, it's, you know, I have a huge backlog of games that I'm like, oh, I better buy this before it goes away. Or they do, you know, they only made so many limited versions of this. By the way, I'm a limited whore as far as I like physical gaming. So I'm like, oh, I better get this, better get this, better get this. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, no, just go to games that, you know, it's like a nice home-cooked meal. It's like, this just feels right. So yeah. And Dynamite Cop did that.
I did. I loved it. So before we... Oh, I also wrote down, quote... I wrote down, poor baby. They really, the enemies make fun of you. Yeah, that's right. I remember some guy just kept saying "poor baby," you know. I was like, "Shut up!" Shut
up. Fine, I'll put more quarters in. Fine.
Poor
yeah.
baby, and then I wrote down "ha ha ha, sucker," because I think one of them said that. So before we wrap up talking about Dynamite Cop and give it a rating, I have one last thing that I want to show you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And this is going to be kind of interactive, I think. Okay. So we were talking about the art gallery earlier. You can basically pick up pieces of artwork as you're playing the game, and it unlocks, like, a piece of artwork in this art gallery. I don't know the exact number, but there's too fucking many. There are so goddamn many of these things. And I picked out a few of my favorite ones. So this is a piece of artwork accompanied by, like, the title of it and then, like, a little blurb. And the blurbs are the ones that crack me up. So I'm going to just show my favorite ones. And, Patrick, I want you to read the descriptions.
Okay. Oh boy.
I mean, I can see here. Oh, my God. 29, 50.
Okay, so I'm just going to go through and show. So tell me what you see and what does it say?
It says, main number 13, Hongo, parentheses, before, a rare image of his face before his transformation. Thank you, Sega.
And I love this picture of him. He looks...
Is it too much to ask, Mr. Button?
Yes, he really does. Oh, he's crazy looking. Let's go to the next one. Oh, I love this one.
Main number 17, pirate couple. The hippest couple in the Dynamite Cop world are back for more action.
And like you fight these guys in the game. Because at one point I saw this artwork and then I realized, like, oh, yeah, you do fight them at one. They're like mini bosses, but it's just this, just these two plus sized pirates.
The hippest.
And they're hip.
Oh, my gosh.
They're super hip. All right, we got.
Okay. Main number 26, colorful chef. His father, Hang, is also a famous chef. They have not spoken since they've had an argument over sauces.
Like,
just some cook with a small head and a gun. Okay, cool.
And I love that backstory. Like,
yeah,
his dad's a chef too, but they had a falling out over sauces. Anyway, you have to kill him.
Watch out.
Oh, boy. This guy. This fucking guy.
Main number 35, Rocket Boy. I can fly. I can fly. I just can't let go.
I don't think this guy was in the game, yeah, but it's just.
I don't remember him.
He's a dude with a rocket strapped to his back, and I think he's holding two rockets? Two
yeah,
small
it looks
rockets?
Like it. Uh huh.
I don't know what the fuck. This artist, he was having a fun time. Making characters for this game.
Enemy one, number 9, Fernando. He looks mad. You would too if you had sand in your pants. Sorry, Fernando. Wow.
Sorry about all the sand in your pants.
Enemy one, number 19, is it Manji?
Mangi? I think it's Manji. Manji?
Okay.
Does anyone remember the old game Shinobi?
Okay.
That's the description for this fucking enemy. It's just like, hey, remember Shinobi?
I do remember it, but I
yeah.
don't remember that. Okay. Enemy one, number 24, Shell Guard. This is the uniform for the fast food chain Crabland. Even pirates need spending money.
So does he work at Crabland?
I'm guessing he works at Crabland.
Did he steal That's also, that's a crazy uniform.
He's got crab claws and just, he's, yeah, I don't know how to describe him, but he doesn't look happy.
There's enemies in the game that are like animal themed. So like some of them are like turtles. Turtle shells. I did notice there were crab guys and they're like the same exact enemy. They're just like skinned different. So enemies with like turtle shells, enemies with big crab shells, enemies with like wolf pelts. And they're like these big, like kind of bulky, like tumbly guys. But this is something that doesn't exist anymore. I love old games with shitty graphics and a thing that you're seeing that's like, I don't know what that is. And then you'll see the art for it, and it's so detailed. And you're like, what?
It's beautiful.
It's like, I remember Metroid 2. I used to play Metroid 2 on Game Boy. And it's, what is that, 8-bit, 16-bit? I don't know how many.
On Game Boy, it was probably 8-bit. So, 8-bit. Yeah.
This is teeny little pixels. All the enemies are just like teeny little groups of pixels. And so it's just like, this one looks like a question mark. This one looks like, this one's, I don't know, it's got wings. It's just like, you can barely see it. It's on a thing this big. And then
use your imagination.
But you didn't have to use your imagination, because then you would look at like the little instruction booklet, and it had a fucking illustration of every single enemy, and you were like, whoa, that's cool. Someone drew the living shit out of these little question mark dudes.
They don't do that anymore.
And that's what this guy specifically, the shell guard, made me think of. Like, that is a detailed drawing of a dude wearing, I guess, the uniform for Crabland.
Is this the last one?
That's the last one.
That's perfect choice.
That's the last one for me to show you. There are, I want to say, hundreds. It's too many. It's so fucking many.
I guess I got some work to do. Yeah,
you gotta play that. You gotta unlock all those galleries. Let's rate Dynamite Cop. Do you have one? A rating in mind?
Oh yeah.
Okay. I'll go first because this was your game. I'm saying 3.5, and that's not, I think, a bad rating. It seems kind of low, but like, I had so much fun with it, and it really, like, it only gets a 3.5 just because it's super duper short. But again, that's not a bad thing at all.
Yeah. Nope. I was going to actually give it a 4.
Nice.
So really, we're kind of in that same space. Yeah, it's not the perfect 5, but for what that game was back then, and of course replaying it now, just a great time. I can't recommend it enough. I would say if you like brawlers, you don't want a lengthy game, you just want to have fun for a good half an hour time, there you go.
It's so fun. Considering I didn't play it 25 years ago, and I played it for the first time now, and I had a blast. I can only imagine, like, I would have loved this game, you know, when it came out. I highly recommend, if you can get your hands on Dynamite Cop. It's not hard. I got a repro.
Yeah, that's plays honestly great. The way to go. Yeah.
But this was a great, like, I don't know if this is a hidden gem. I've seen it on lists, but again, I'd never heard of it. So,
yeah, I definitely, the name is out there, but I mean, honestly, watching a lot of YouTube videos on Dreamcast, you know, just like people giving their top 10 or whatever. I mean, usually Dynamite Cop's not on it. You might see some playthroughs and things like that, but that's about it. So, I would definitely, of course, the Dreamcast library is huge, but I would say it's definitely within my top 20 for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
That'll be a fun way to end this show, is for us to come up with our like ranking, top ranking. Yeah. All right. Well, that I think is it from us talking about Dynamite Cop. If you enjoyed listening to this, check out our other episodes and subscribe and follow us. You can find Casting Dreams on any of the podcast platforms. And you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok. Post a bunch of like clips on there. And follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook. You can check out the rest of Casting Dreams, plus our other shows, The Sketchy Show and Below Grade Level. We have a lot of fun shit for you to listen to. So anyway, any other final thoughts, Patrick? Or is that about do it?
Just keep dreaming, man. Just keep dreaming.
Oh, what did we say that one time? We dream big, cast hard. I don't remember what it was.
Okay. Let's try it. Dream big,
cast and... hard. We'll come up with a better tagline later.
Okay.
All right, thanks for listening.